Our next presenter is Dr. James C. Turner. Dr. Turner is the Executive Director of the Department of Student Health and the National Social Norms Institute and Professor of Internal Medicine at the University of Virginia. Working in college health since 1985, he has interests in national vaccine policy, health education, and health promotion interventions for college students, and epidemiology in the college population. The research presented today was conducted during his tenure as president of the American College Health Association. Dr. Turner.
Thank you, Angela, and thank you for staying so late into the conference. I greatly appreciate it. I have no personal financial relationships, nor do my collaborators. As Angela said, I commissioned this study when I was president of the American College Health Association. It was supported by the association of my school. I've got a fairly complex department. We've received a lot of gifts and grants over the years from a number of different areas, but none of them specifically funded or had an interest in this study. There's been no comprehensive study of college student mortality since 1939, when a book was published by the American Association of Universities that outlined various causes of mortality among college students. And there's no current existing data regarding the multiple causes of death among our 18 or 19 million college students. As you probably know, death on a college campus is a relatively uncommon event, thankfully, but it's tragic and can be newsworthy. And during my tenure as president of American College Health, we had started a national surveillance program for H1N1. So we got a number of schools, a couple of hundred schools, interested in submitting data. And so at the conclusion of my tenure in May of 2010, we conducted a study of mortality and had of 1,154 institutions submitting data between August 1st, 2009 and May 31st, 2010. We had 157 schools respond to our survey, representing 1.36 million enrolled 18 to 24-year-old college students. The sources of information about death perhaps are non-traditional in from a public health standpoint. We did not ask to look at death certificates, but most schools who have a student die usually know why they've died. We're intimately involved in concluding administrative event transactions for students, withdrawing from them from school, refunds for tuition and fees, counseling friends, family members who've had a tragic loss. And so we generally know when a student dies why they have died. The Dean of Students Office was the most common source for information about death. Student Health and Counseling Services, the next most common, and you can see the list of other sources of information from the schools who submitted data to us. I apologize, this is a very busy slide. I'm going to simplify this for you in a moment, but this is a table that compares the enrollment of 18 to 24-year-olds nationally with our sample size. This is available in the handout that is on the website for this presentation. But this is a simplification to show you that we had fairly similar pattern in terms of gender breakdown between the sample and the national population of 18 to 24-year-olds in school. Institutional control, we had a slight overrepresentation of public institutions among our sample. We, in terms of Census Bureau regions, we had a slight overrepresentation among schools in the South and underrepresentation of schools in the West. In terms of the community size in which the schools resided, we had a slight overrepresentation of schools that were in large urban areas over the population of 100,000. And again, in terms of ethnicity, to simplify this chart, which is again available in your handout if you want to print it up, we had a slight overrepresentation of Caucasian students and a proportionate underrepresentation of African Americans and Hispanics. In terms of methodology, we asked for data on deaths over a 10-month period, so we annualized that and converted it into 12-month data. And since when a student dies from an injury, we may not have information about whether or not alcohol was involved, particularly if it happened away from campus. We used an imputation strategy that's been published by Ralph Hinkson at the NIAAA, where assumptions are made that 49% of all vehicular deaths are related to alcohol, and similarly 38% of all non-vehicular accidents are assumed related to alcohol. And again, this is a busy slide. I'm going to walk you through it, but this is the total number of deaths that we saw on our study, which was 254. And let me walk you through the annualization and imputation, and then I have a summary slide. Highlighted in yellow, you can see that there were 78 students who were reported to have died from a vehicular injury. Using an annualization technique, we converted that to 94 cases over 12 months. This was the total enrollment of the sample, and this is a calculation of a mortality rate with confidence intervals. Okay, and this right here is the predicted rate for 18 to 24-year-olds with data from the CDC. In terms of the imputation, assuming that 49% of vehicular accidents or vehicular deaths are related to alcohol, we converted that to 38 alcohol-related deaths, annualized it to 46, and came up with a rate of 3.37 with the confidence intervals. So that's the way we did the annualization and imputation, and we did that for all categories. These are all of the mortality rates that we've listed for all causes with confidence intervals. And again, the column shaded in tan represents predicted mortality rates from common reference points such as the CDC. The only exception is right here, this 0.315. That is from the Department of Education, from the Cleary reports that many schools are required to respond to. And this is the rate of homicide reported by the Cleary Act for all homicides on campuses, including students and non-students. This is the rate of homicide for the same age general population, 18 to 24-year-old, reported by the CDC. This is a summary slide that lists in descending order the leading causes of death. As you can see, suicide is 6.18. Non-alcohol vehicular injury is 3.51. Alcohol-related vehicular injury is 3.37. Those confidence intervals do not overlap with suicide. Non-alcohol, non-traffic injury is next. Cancer, alcohol-related non-traffic injury, and then homicide. Conducting a logistic regression analysis, males had a significantly higher rate of suicide than females, much as we heard from Dr. Botta earlier, with an odds ratio of 4.43. There were no differences in any mortality rates for suicide, alcohol, vehicular, or non-traffic injuries among the various Census Bureau regions. And rural schools had higher rates of alcohol-related vehicular accidents than large urban or small urban and suburban schools, and that shouldn't be surprising. One would assume that students may have to drive from in a rural setting to go socialize, and that probably is not unexpected. Wanted to go over some limitations. This does not constitute a probability sample of schools. In other words, only those schools that had access to death data submitted it, or only those schools that were willing to respond. We did promise them anonymity, so I think that perhaps helped in getting some of the information. We had a slight overrepresentation of males, whites, and large urban locations in public schools. I'm not sure how this could contribute to different mortality rates, but it clearly is a limitation. There's no standardized methodology for tracking and reporting student deaths. It would be nice if we could establish one nationally, so that is a limitation of the study. And, of course, we use an imputation method to estimate alcohol-related deaths. Excuse me. Despite the limitations, our mortality rates are very similar to other published data. For example, the suicide rate of about 6 per 100,000 has been published in two different studies, the latest by Schwartz in 2006. The alcohol-related vehicular deaths were very similar to a study I published in the Journal of American College Health from Virginia this past January, and similar orders of magnitude. The cancer rates are very similar to what the National Cancer Institute reports for this age group. And again, the homicide rate is similar to what the Department of Education reports. So, this is the first study of college student mortality since 1939. Our suicide rates are 47% lower, and our alcohol-related deaths are 60 to 76% lower than the same age general population. One has to wonder if perhaps we aren't effectively educating students, or perhaps detecting students and intervening among those who have alcohol-related problems and suicidality. We do have traditionally accessible medical and counseling services on our campuses. It may be that related to the alcohol-related vehicular accidents, students don't have to drive as much to socialize. On my campus, students don't have to drive at all. They can walk a couple blocks to the campus bars or to the fraternities or to the apartments. And so it may be that we're seeing an effect of just not having to drive as much, resulting in lower alcohol-related vehicular deaths. Whether or not socioeconomic status is important, we don't know. Morbidity due to alcohol, I'm not trying to minimize the impact of alcohol on our campuses. Clearly, morbidity remains a huge issue, but perhaps it's not rising to the level of mortality. Homicide is 97% lower than the predicted rate for the general population, suggesting that our campus security, crime prevention, and our behavior intervention teams are successful in intervening in potentially violent individuals. In conclusion, I think our campuses may afford much safer and protective environments than maybe what has been previously recognized. Clearly, further study needs to be done to replicate the findings and then try to assess what it is that's contributing, our contributory factors. Future epidemiologic data really needs to be campus generated. I think we need a lesson from this is we cannot rely on national population statistics to extrapolate what might be happening in our college population. Our suicide rates haven't changed in 20 years. It's remained at about 6 per 100,000, telling me that we need to focus efforts on suicide detection and intervention. And I think it is a powerful statement for what we've done for our communities in terms of the public health value of college health counseling, security, and other support services for students. And I wanted to thank the American College Health Association and Dr. Victor Lano, who is the Director of Research, for his help on this study. Thank you very much for your attention. And do you want to take questions at the end?
I can take them now.
I can take them now?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Related to suicide or any of them. The question is, do we have a sense of the temporal relationship as to when these events might be occurring on campus? Well, I have a small surveillance network that I've developed in the wake of this, and I've been following all clinical things on campuses representing about 600,000 students, and there's a bimodal epicurve for everything. It starts in September, peaks in late October, early November, falls off in early December. Then they all leave, go home for winter holidays. They come back in January. It peaks again in March and goes down. But that's true for everything, not just the things that I've looked at. And I think that's probably true of the mortality as well. Yes, sir.
Is your imputation statistic related to a college
The question is the imputation statistic, is that related to a general population or college population? That is a general population statistic. You're right. That may be a problem in using an imputation, but even if you were to say 100% of the vehicular accidents and 100% of the non-vehicular accidents were alcohol-related, we'd still have rates far below what the general population is expected to. Yes, and I'm going to repeat what you said for the recording. The point is that there may be students withdrawing from school prior to dying, and this may result in underrepresentation of certain categories. I think that's particularly true if you look at our cancer mortality. I think students with cancer do drop out as a result of their cancer. The accidental deaths, you know, no one anticipates those necessarily, so I'm not sure that that would play a role. But that's an excellent point. You want me to quit? Okay. I've been told to quit. Will there be any other questions at the end, if there's time?
There will be.
Okay, there'll be time for more questions at the end. Thank you very much.
Thank you.